For 2,000 years, Christians on Easter Sunday have greeted each other with the familiar greeting, "The Lord is risen, the Lord is risen indeed." Let's try that. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Amen. He certainly is. Let me welcome you all to this time of worship here at Lakeview United Methodist Church. Glad you're a part of our community today. Good to see families back with their families. We have our family here today. I know some of you do as well. If you're visiting with us, we extend to you warm greetings. Hope that you'll come worship with us as often as you can. After a two-week break, we will be starting back Soul Food Cafe this Wednesday night. Hope you'll join us and come out and be a part of a small group and also the meal that is at, what, 5:30? Is that right? Six, okay. Meal and then small groups at 6:30. Any other announcements anybody needs to make? All right, join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we are glad to be here on this Easter Sunday. Thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for our chance to come and again, relive the greatest news, the greatest story ever told. May your Holy Spirit come and inspire us and empower us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing as we affirm our faith in the living God. We'll be using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They'll be appearing on the screen. Please join me as we affirm what we believe about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Great music today. As we move into our prayer time, you may want to mention some folks for prayer. Feel free to call out their names and I will write them down and include them in the morning prayer. Any prayer concerns? I'm sorry? Emily? Okay, Emily Norwood. Tom, sorry, Nick, Elaine, Dwayne, okay. But don't get ugly about it, okay? I can't help it. I'm hard of hearing. But you did say Dwayne, right? Anybody else? Eddie. Join me as we pray. Dear God, what an awesome God you are. Today as we think about Easter, the power of the resurrection, all that it has meant to your world over the centuries, for what it has come to mean to us in our individual lives. We just say thanks. Thank you for this great, great story that never gets old. How you were in Christ reconciling the world unto yourself. So Lord, we do adore you, we praise you, we worship you today, and we give you thanks for blessings large and small. Father, we're truly sorry that our lives don't always measure up, that we fall short over and over again. All of these things is what the Bible calls sin. It's missing the mark. We can miss it by a little, we can miss it by a lot, but it's all missing the mark. It's falling short. And if we haven't already today, we ask for forgiveness, Father. Thank you that the Bible is unmistakably clear that when we confess our sins, you're always faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for that promise. Help us to claim it and make it our own. Lord, we today join prayers in praying for the world in which we live, for hot spots around the world that come to mind, for missionaries who today are standing before small crowds and big crowds to bear witness to the redeeming love of Jesus. We pray for them that they would be bold and that you would crown their efforts with your blessings. Closer to home, Father, we pray for the people that are on our minds and hearts this morning. We join together in praying for Emily and Tom and Nick and Dwayne and Eddie and all the other unspoken concerns that cross our mind right now. Heal them. Bless them, we pray. And Father, finally, we offer up prayers for ourselves. We may be here today in body, but inside of our own hearts, we really don't believe. Or we're here because our parents wanted us to come, or our husband or wife wanted us to come. But in our hearts, we know that we are far, far from you. Open our minds today, open our hearts to give this story another chance. Help us to give you a chance today to speak to us what we need to hear, so that we too can know that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. All of this we ask in Christ's name. We remember the model prayer he taught his disciples long ago and today when he said, please join me, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to receive our morning offering. Thank you for being faithful in your giving that allows us to be in missions right here, close to home and around the world. Man, that's so powerful, isn't it? Children are dismissed to go to children's church if they haven't already. No children's church? Okay. All right. Today I want to read from two passages of Scripture, Matthew 28 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. On Easter, you have to read at least one account of the Easter story. All four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have their own different twist. The story is the same, but some of the details are a little bit different. It doesn't make one true and one not, or one better than the other, just different aspects. This is Matthew's account. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And then, 30, 40, 50 years later, a man who was living during the lifetime of Jesus, but was on the other side as a Jewish teacher himself, later has this experience on the Damascus Road, and later he becomes the chief interpreter of Jesus and writes over half of the New Testament. These words from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. He starts out by saying, "So, for what I've received, I have passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Because each of us is different, we have different understandings and takes on different things. We don't always see things the same way. I've got water in my ear, and I hate that feeling. You ever remember that? Where it just kind of makes you feel like you're in a... tunnel? That reminds me of a great story that takes place in the days after World War II, when there were still plenty of American soldiers in England as they were kind of winding everything down after the war was over. So one day, an American general and a young lieutenant boarded a train that would take them out into the countryside to an army base. And when they got on the train, they just happened to sit in the only two remaining chairs on the passenger car, which was right across from this beautiful young lady in her 20s, in what looked like to be her grandmother. So they sat down, and the train took off, and the train hadn't been traveling very long until it went through one of those dark English tunnels where you could not see your hand in front of your face, and there was total silence. And in those moments of darkness and silence, everyone around them heard two sounds, a kiss and a slap. Each of them had their own idea of what had taken place. The beautiful young lady was sitting there, smiling from ear to ear, thinking, "I'm glad that handsome lieutenant kissed me, but I wish grandmother hadn't slapped him." The grandmother was sitting there thinking, she was indignant. "The idea of this lieutenant kissing my granddaughter. I'm glad she slapped his face." The general was sitting there all pompous, thinking, "I'm glad the lieutenant had a chance to kiss the pretty girl. But why did she slap me?" The only one that knew what had actually happened in those moments of darkness and silence was the lieutenant, who in those moments had a chance both to kiss the pretty girl and to slap his general. We don't always agree on stories, do we? Do we? But today on this Easter Sunday, when we come to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I think it's fair to say that we either believe it or we want to believe it. This is the foundation of the Christian gospel. It all rests on the resurrection. This morning in the sunrise service, Jay talked about that the Christian faith rises and falls on the resurrection of Jesus. And he was right, because it does. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15. There have been other great teachers before and since Jesus, but only one could stand in the power of the resurrection and say, "I am the resurrection and the life." It took the disciples of Jesus a while before the truth of it settled in their hearts and minds, until they really believed it. I think we miss just how crushed they were when he was arrested, betrayed, crucified. You know, when a person dies, there is not much comparison to compare it to when a person says that we know has come back to life. The pool is just so small. But the women came to the tomb. You know, it's always the women. They're always the first. And they were that day. They came. They shared what the angel had said. And over time, the men began to believe. Peter, John, all the others. You know, a week later, the book of John tells us they were huddled in an upper room, scared to death. And so the full truth of all of this has not yet burst upon them. But eventually, it does. And that becomes their their message to the world. They were the first Easter people. And we are too. We are Easter people if we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I just want to mention some qualities of Easter people, using the word Easter as an acronym to remind us of who we are. The first quality of an Easter person is enthusiasm. Easter people are enthusiastic. Interestingly, the word enthusiasm comes from the Greek word en theos, in God. Easter people are enthusiastic because they are in God. They're God-possessed. And they have a positive confidence about life. The women, we're told in Matthew, they departed the tomb with great joy, great enthusiasm to pass on this word to the others. They didn't have a clue what it meant, or they didn't have a clue all that it meant, but they couldn't wait to pass on the good news. That is the nature of good news. That's why some have said that the gospel of Jesus Christ is hot potato news. You can't keep it to yourself. You want to pass it on to other people. Easter people are enthusiastic. Easter people are also adaptable. Because of the resurrection, the disciples were willing to change their lifestyles so that God could be God. You know, before the resurrection, the Jewish people worshiped on the Jewish Sabbath at the end of the week, from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. Jewish people still do that. For the Jewish people, the biggest holy day is the Passover. The Christians, the early Christians, most of them came from the Jewish faith. They had a Jewish background. Jesus was Jewish. And over time, they realized that now, as Christians, Easter overshadowed the Passover. And that Easter, and that Sunday was more important than the Sabbath. Why? Because Sunday was when Jesus came back to life. And so the early Christians changed their day of worship from Saturday to Sunday because of the resurrection. That's unthinkable. They were adaptable. Everything was now up for discussion. All that mattered is that Christ had died, Christ had risen, and Christ was coming again. And so they altered their lifestyles to accommodate that. Easter people are open to change. You know, someone said, and it's true, I'm sure, of any organization, but especially the Christian church, that the seven last words of the church are, "We've never done it that way before." We tend to think in those terms as groups and organizations and churches. We've never done it that way before. And here Easter comes along and says, God is doing a new thing. For those of us in the Lakeview Church community, we know that we've already announced that our church will be coming to a close on the last Sunday in June. And the reasons are we can't pay for the building. We've not been able to pay for it for a long time. And our church had a church-wide vote, and the largest majority of our church has voted to move away from the United Methodist Church. I'm bringing this up to say, you know, these types of opportunities can be new opportunities for God to work in our midst. Who knows what will happen to all of us here? Who knows what next church we will become a part of to make a difference in the world for Jesus Christ? We can not doubt that God is at work and that God will make something beautiful from this. As Easter people, we believe in a God of great surprises. Even when bad things happen, God is never silent. He's at work. A third quality of Easter people is that they are sensitive. They are sensitive. When I thought about that, I thought about in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John walking into the temple one day. This is sometime after the resurrection, weeks, months. They're walking into the temple one day, and they look over to the side, and there's a guy that's crippled, and he calls out to them saying, "Hey, give me some money." He was a beggar. And no doubt inspired by the Holy Spirit, Peter says, "Hey, we don't have any silver or gold, but what we have we'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And taking him by the hand, they help him up, and the guy is healed. I mean, Peter and John could have just, you know, when you're in a car and you're on I-459 and you get off at the 280 exit there and you see there's a person up there asking for money, and you just pray that the traffic light will turn green where you won't have to stop and make eye contact with that person. We've all done that. How easy it would have been for Peter and John to just kind of get lost in the conversation and just keep on going. No, they were sensitive. They were open. And they didn't have any money, but what they had was a lot. It was faith in the risen Christ. And they were happy to pass it on. Jesus himself was sensitive to other people. You remember one of the most unusual healings that we're told that he was a part of was he was at a place among a crowd of people, and a woman just bumps up and touches his body and keeps on going. But he was so sensitive, he felt power going out from him. And he says, "Who touched me?" The world in which we live can be a cold, cold place. We are called as Easter people to be warm, open, receptive, and sensitive. The church can be like a fireplace in the midst of a cold, cold world where people can know they can come to find Jesus and his healing power. Another quality of Easter people is they are trusting. As I mentioned, the death of Jesus Christ crushed the hopes of his disciples. Why wouldn't it? I mean, at least the original 12 disciples had left everything to follow him. Family, jobs, homes. They were crushed by his death. They couldn't look back like we can over 2,000 years and see it all fitting into place. Yeah, he had to die. His death was for the sins of the world. They didn't know all of that until much later. They didn't understand it. All that they knew was that this guy that was so full of charisma that they believed in so much was now dead. But gradually, their trust, step by step, was rebuilt. I guess it would help if you'd see somebody who was dead appear and he was alive again. That would do something for your trust, of course. Listen, if you can believe in the resurrection, you can believe that God can do anything. Anything. And in fact, Jesus had said, all things are possible if you only believe. Disciples are, Easter people are trusting. And then, Easter people are eternal. The great question before Jesus' time was, what happens when a person dies? Even the Jewish people that God had revealed himself to and called to be the people through which the Messiah would come, even their understanding of death and what lay beyond it was fuzzy. They had this idea of this place you go to called Sheol, but it was undefined. What happens? And then Jesus Christ comes on the scene of history, and he says things like, I'm the resurrection and the life. He said these words standing by the graveside of his good friend Lazarus. I'm the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Die forever. He said things like, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus put an image around what happens when we die for those who are his followers. Heaven is a place that is prepared. It's a place where Jesus is. And that's enough. Anything else is a blessed bonus. And so because of our faith in him, Easter people are eternal. And then finally, another quality of Easter people is that we are redemptive. The message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, is about one thing. Redemption. The plan that God went through to work out how a holy God and sinful humankind can be brought together. It all starts in Genesis 3 with the fall when Adam and Eve disobey God. And their relationship with God is broken through their disobedience. But God is not surprised. He's already at work, laying the foundation of how all this would work out over centuries of time. I mean, think about it. The whole story doesn't even make sense. Who could concoct a story like this? God calls a man named Abraham. You're going to be the father of a people that are no people. They're nobody. They don't exist. Leave your home, you and your wife, go start this family. I'm going to give you this land, this promised land. And then the story flows from there. Throughout the Old Testament, as God gives them, the Jewish people, their laws, how they are to deal with sin, which is a forerunner of what Jesus will do. This elaborate sacrificial system. You commit a big sin, you got to offer a big sacrifice. You commit a little sin, you can offer a little sacrifice. Teaching them the destruction and hatefulness that sin separates us from God, and it's always costly. And then the centuries pass. They try to make this system work. Israel keeps falling away from God. God will send a prophet. They will come back to God over and over, over and over. That's the Old Testament. And then you turn the pages of the Old Testament to the New. And we read in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. And 30 years later, 33 years later, he would hang on a cross, dying for the sins of the whole world. And then 3 days later, he would come back to life to say, see, this is real. This is true. And all you have to do is believe. And then, so that's the whole thing of redemption in a nutshell. And then to his disciples, those that were the witnesses of the resurrection, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you to go into all the world and to preach this good news wherever you can. And so the message of Easter from the very beginning was, come and see, go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. As Paul wrote about this event in 1 Corinthians, long after the event took place, he reminds them, listen, it wasn't just the disciples that saw Jesus. There were large groups of people, as much as 500 at one time. And then Paul says, and to one abnormally born like me, he also appeared to me. That's how Jesus appears to us all. Long after the event, through the power of his Holy Spirit, who makes him real to us. And so, Easter people, this is our message. We don't need anything else. Come and see for yourself. Go and tell through your life, through your lips, through your service, that Jesus Christ is alive. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and lead us in our last song. And this morning you may be here and this doesn't make a bit of sense to you. Think about it. Come to terms with it. This morning I was reading a short story about a guy that talked about how he had been an atheist for a long time until one day somebody shared with him a book by Josh McDowell called More Than a Carpenter. It was a book written 40 years ago about why we believe that there really was a man named Jesus of Nazareth that died and that was who he said he was. He said that book and Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, were the two books that helped him understand the Christian faith for the first time. You know, there are people that will believe and have faith just like that. But for others of us, faith comes hard. We don't want to believe something that might not be true. We don't want to just, we're not followers. We don't go along with the crowd. Listen, I think next week I'll be preaching about one of those guys whose name was Thomas, who wanted to see it, touch it, feel it before he believed. And if that's you this morning, just keep an open heart and open mind to the way God might speak to you in the coming days. Hope y'all have a great day. Receive these words as our benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding power of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and always. Amen.